Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 410, 87 degrees here on this Thursday, August 14th, 2025. Before we get into the next segment of the show, we're going to follow up on these job numbers here, and I had an economist chime in here. That I know. So the U.S. job numbers you hear each month, that's usually the non-farm payroll. That's the big one from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And they're often off, because that's why I asked, why are they so off so often, is because they're essentially educated estimates based on incomplete data. And they get revised as more information comes in, which is why I'm saying let's make these bi-monthly rather than every month to where it's bad data. And this kind of proves that. They're based on surveys, not a full count, because the BLS doesn't call every employer in America. The survey, about 122,000 businesses and government agencies covering pretty much 666,000 work sites or payroll data, plus separate household surveys for unemployment. And it's a sampling. So there's a margin of error, and that changes. The initial report that we get is often a first draft. Again, that's a problem, which is why I'm saying let's wait a month and do January's report in March, not in February. The first job numbers come in just 3 weeks after the month ends, so the BLS has to use data they've gotten so far plus statistical models to fill in the gaps. And obviously, that's not working. Later reports, revisions incorporate late submissions and are more accurate data points. Again, why I say let's do them bi-monthly. Seasonal adjustments is tricky. People get hired and lay off at predictable times, holidays, school year, weather-related jobs. BLS uses complex seasonal adjustment formulas to smooth this out, but unusual events like warm weather, unpredictable weather, pandemics, sudden strikes, natural disasters, or breaks in the supply chain from around the world. They throw those formulas way off. New businesses are hard to track because it takes time for new businesses to get into the government models, so they don't have that as well. So they make estimates messy. Strikes, natural disasters, policy changes, or even one-off events like a massive concert tour creating short-term jobs can distort numbers. So it's a lot of what I'm talking about, and I think by making it bi-monthly would solve a lot of the inaccuracies. Would it be perfect? No. Will there still be changes? Yes, but they'd be narrower changes to where somebody doesn't say, well, that was way off. Let's go to the phone now. We have Joe from Edwardsville on job numbers. Joe.
Yeah, Rob, how you doing? I was just wanting to talk to you about, I appreciate, Elle usually makes some good points, but sometimes I wonder. It sounds like she was talking to a couple of guys, and they're talking about 120,000 employers, and only 60 of them report. And it worries me that she thought maybe that meant actually 60. Usually when people are talking on TV, they'll say there's 120,000 and only 60. I think that actually meant 60,000, which is problematic for the numbers that you're trying to deal with.
Well, it's actually more than that because I have those numbers in front of me where they survey about 122,000 businesses and government agencies. These are whole agencies, and that covers about 666,000 work sites.
Yes, I understand. Yes, and you took some of the wind out of my sails with your last segment, which you often do right before while I'm waiting on hold, and I appreciate that. But yes, one of the other things that I wanted to say was quickly, as far as to make something mandatory from the government, I can't get on board with you there. You've worked with the government, you've worked for the government, and that's a good thing. I think people with guns and badges have to work for the government for that extra level of accountability. But if someone has a startup business, a small business, and things are going rough, they're having a tough time, what's going to be required to report to the government, you know, nothing is ever simple. It could eat up a whole workday for them trying to do their mandatory reporting because the government's, you know, their systems are old. They're antiquated. Well, there's a redundancy. And, but they don't care. They say, look, this is what you got to do. Well, I'm having a hard time. Well, I don't care. This is what you got to do. I like your idea, which is, you know, we'll get monthly data, but we won't start getting monthly data for a month. So, you know, this month's data won't come out until October. After 1 month, we'll be caught up to that. We'll always be reporting on last month, or actually the month before's numbers, and then we'll have a clearer picture.
Yeah, there'll be a month gap.
Yes, there'll be a one month gap one time, though, because then there'll be, you know, once you'll be making a report every month, but it'll be on 2 months ago. And I think that's fine, because that's what, you know, financial markets are always looking at. They're looking at trends. They're looking at, okay, this is what was going on 2 months ago. It seems like a lot of times the financial markets, they're looking at, you know, somebody shows up to work with gas one day and the financial markets go wacky. So, you know, let's take a look at what's really going on and figure what's happening here. One other thing I wanted to mention to you, and I told this to Jake, and I told him the only reason he knows who Big Mama Thornton was is because he hangs out with Sue Henry. And the other is, during that story, you were talking about 12%, and I don't even remember what the hell they were worked up about. But only 12% of the population is worked up about.
Oh, the jeans commercial, the Sydney Sweeney jeans commercial. The good jeans.
That's what it was. Thank you. My mind is like Swiss cheese, you know.
It happens.
But, yeah, and the only reason those 12% are worked up over that is because these are people who have no problems in their lives. They get up, they do what they got to do, they have their morning coffee, they get done watching The View, then they go online to find out what they're supposed to be worked up about today.
See, I would have went with the purple hair dye is doing something with their brain, and the earrings throughout their nose and face and cheekbones are probably doing something with polarization.
Yeah, that's in the younger set. I'm talking about the older, the more settled, the middle-aged, you know, living a life, you know, middle class, upper middle class. Oh, I don't have any problems. I need to find out what the problems are in the world so I can be concerned so I freaking matter.
Well, I got you.
I matter because I matter to my family.
Yep.
Mattering to the world, that's second.
Yeah, and that's a distant second if you want to be honest about it for me.
I'm here to tell you.
Did you see the thing out of D.C. where the guy threw the Subway sandwich at the federal officer?
Yes, I did. Yes,
all right.
I did.
Do you know that it just came out that individual who was arrested is a Department of Justice employee?
Of course he is.
Yes, he's not only getting arrested now, he's going to be unemployed. So we got to add him to those numbers now.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. If we were talking about, you know, we lost 140,000 jobs last month and they were all idiots like this, I'd be cool with that. Whatever impact it had on the economy, you're too stupid to have a job.
Indeed, indeed. Listen, if you're throwing a Subway sandwich at an armed federal agent, you got a lot more problems on your head than
the concept of doing that to any kind of law enforcement officer would never occur to me.
And to anyone, don't not even make it law enforcement to anyone.
No, certainly no. But having an encounter with a law enforcement officer, it raises the stakes. And that concept would never occur to me. Because I know, all right, look, if this guy's being an ass, and I've run into a couple, you know that, you were a cop. But, you know, what's it going to benefit me to go ahead and call him out here? No, I can fix this later. Right now, what I need to do is de-escalate. The effort isn't solely on the law enforcement officer. You nothing good is ever going to come of that because you're in a situation you can't control. So, no, that's just, if you're that stupid, you shouldn't have a job.
That and
certainly not what I'm paying you.
That and did you see the District of Columbia police chief not knowing what the chain of command was?
That's, what are you kidding me? That doesn't surprise me even a little bit.
I have the audio on that. We're going to play it after the break because I'm going to talk about that as well. So you want to stick around, Joe. It's going to be funny.
The world is too busy for me to keep up with all of it, but I appreciate you keeping me apprised of some of these things. All right, Rob.
Listen, I try to pack it all into 3 hours here from 3 to 6.
Hell, you are a packer. I am here to tell you that.
I'll talk to you later, my friend. Thank you. It is 4:20 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. It's 4:24, 87 degrees. So there's been a lot of talk on the federal takeover of the D.C. Metro Police Department here, and there's been a lot going on there. They're actually the Washington Free Beacon. Our ABC affiliates and mainstream news affiliates, including our ABC affiliates here, have been going with this department statistics that crime is down in D.C. and such, but they're not letting you know that there's an ongoing federal lawsuit in Washington, D.C., to where numerous police executives have come out and said that they've been forced to reclassify crime that do not show up in the stats. And I'm going to get to that in a second. And Joe, I see you waiting for a while, and I knew I was going to talk about this during this segment, so I'm going to take you in a second too. So one of the things is a tale of two chiefs, PAMs. Two chief PAMs. Federal takeover brings confusion over the command in D.C. Is it Pam Bondi or is it Chief Pamela Smith, the current uniform chief of police in Washington, D.C., who, before becoming chief of police, was also the head of DEI in the Washington Metro Police Department. She was also worked for the Washington, D.C. Parks Police for many years. So she was asked what the chain of command is. And anyone who's ever been in law enforcement, military service, any uniform service knows darn well what the chain of command is. Anyone in any corporate entity should know what the chain of command is. Usually there's a flow chart that shows who reports to who and who's in charge of what and who's on the top of that and who's at the bottom of that. Well, she was asked that and did not have a clue what the chain of command was, to the point where the mayor had to literally push her out of the way and answer the question for her. And I have that sound clip here.
That's what the chain of command is now?
What does that mean?
Well, is it Pam Bondi speaking to the mayor, telling you, or how does this work?
So the executive order is clear. The president has requested MPD services, and our home rule charter outlines the process. The president designated Attorney General Bondi as his proxy to request services through me.
When she was asked what the chain of command is, she says, what is that? That was the chief of police for Washington, D.C. First, if you want to talk about an issue with Washington, D.C. and its policing, that would be the number one entity for me. And again, I'll play that beginning part for you again.
That's what the chain of command is now?
What does that mean?
Well, is it Pam?
What does that mean? Are you aware what the chain of command is now? She says, what does that mean? What does that mean? Means you don't know what you're doing, to be honest. One of the good things that did come out of that, she did bring a directive. This chief that you just heard from before the mayor pushed out of the way to answer a simple question for her was her department is now cooperating with ICE in the confines of the District of Columbia. So already seeing progressive moves and progress there in Washington, D.C. And again, local media, of course, to make this. They are terrified that this will be successful. Let me get to the phone now. We have Joe from Berwick on Washington, D.C. crime stats. Joe, you there? Okay. Going once. Joe, going twice. I guess Joe's not there. They're terrified this is going to be successful. They're terrified this is going to be a model to be used elsewhere. It was interesting because I was watching a little bit of Outnumbered on Fox today, and they had Marie Harf, who was a spokesperson for the State Department. She worked at the DOD for a little bit. She was trying to throw in there that the majority of cities across America with crime issues are Republican, are red cities. And Harris Faulkner called her out and says, well, I have a list of the top 10 highest rated crime cities here. and only 3 of the 10 were Republican-run cities. And then she tried saying, well, the states are run by Republicans. Well, first of all, that's not who deals with crime. The state does not deal with local crime. The state of Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, does not handle local crime in the city of Scranton. They assist. There are state police entities there. There are state entities there, just like there's ICE driving around in across Pennsylvania right now. But the city of Scranton is responsible for the policing in the city of Scranton. That's just the way it works. And thankfully, Paul Morrow, who was a retired inspector with the NYPD, was part of that and says, no, the state does not handle hiring, firing, or anything else when it comes to the local law enforcement in that area. So she got fact-checked in real time and looked like a fool because what she was saying was just patently false. And that's the go-to a lot of times. Well, the states are Republican states. And again, you know, does Pittsburgh or Philadelphia have really anything to do with the crime in Scranton or Wilkes-Barre? No, they don't. Or in your local township? No, it doesn't. So you have a lot of these media entities, ABC affiliates for the most part. We've heard it during some of our news breaks. Our local ABC affiliate has been saying, well, crime stats in Washington, D.C. show crime is drastically down since the height of the pandemic. Okay, first of all, you're starting. So crime is not absolutely horrible now. It's just really bad. And that's what we're celebrating. But what they fail to tell you is that there's a federal lawsuit in Washington, D.C., in the District of Columbia now, where multiple high-ranking officials in the police department have already documented internal emails, depositions, phone call transcripts from this suit corroborates the accusations raising questions over police department data that mainstream media outlets are consistently citing to contend that Trump's takeover is unnecessary. And I'll just read you a portion. This is from the 4th District Court in Washington, D.C. Testimony from Lieutenant Andrew Zabavinsky. He's saying that when he arrived at the 4th District, that the stated district was experiencing issues with thefts, which were driving up crime stats. Lieutenant Zabavinsky stated that Commander Randy Griffin tasked his management team with coming up with a solution to bring theft stats down in the district. Not bring crime down. Bring crime stats down in the district. After being given the task to come up with a solution to the theft problem, Lieutenant Zabavinsky recalled having a meeting with Captain Franklin Porter and two other officials on the midnight tour of duty. During the discussion, he brought up the idea that using a charge of TPROW to classify reports or consumer thefts instead of using the classification of shoplifting or theft. He acknowledged that this is done because TPWOR reports are not tracked in the DC crime report. So basically, they're reclassifying thefts and shoplifting to a crime classification, TPWOR, which are not tracked for crime stats. So they're not reducing crime. They're just not reporting it. They're declassifying it. And this is commonly done, where assault felonies are declassified to misdemeanor felonies, assaults, to where assaults are declassified to simple harassments or disorderly conduct. This is done constantly. And this is just a part of this entire lawsuit. And I have the whole thing in front of me. They have emails. Crime misclassification scheme laid out by the suit largely centers on the two offenses, assaults and thefts.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. To find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Things they're dealing with the most there. The suit provides examples of knife attacks, typically categorized as assault with a dangerous weapon. A felony offense in D.C. includes in its violent crime stats, they were classified as simple assaults, a misdemeanor that D.C. does not include in those stats. So again, District of Columbia does not include simple assault. So somebody walks up to you in D.C. as you're walking downtown with your family and punches you in the face. That's not classified as their crime stats. And again, they're taking knife attacks, assaults with knives, and reclassifying them as simple assaults, not felony assault with a weapon. Emails and depositions introduced in exhibits in the case also show that police leaders explicitly instructed their subordinates to classify certain theft cases as taking property without right. That's the TPWR. A lesser offense than shoplifting or theft that does not appear on their crime stats. So this is all federal record. This is an ongoing federal court case where high-ranking officials in the D.C. Metro Police Department are charging their own department with manipulating the stats. And this is all court record, what I just read to you. But yet you have media entities across the nation saying, well, crime is down, without saying, but there are several lawsuits. Now, the one with the high-ranking official that was suspended for fudging stats, well, that's already out there. How come they couldn't do the same homework that the Washington Free Beacon does and I just brought to you here on this news station in Northeast Pennsylvania, saying that there is a major federal lawsuit going on from numerous high-ranking officials in D.C. saying that the department routinely manipulates its stats to downgrade them. But they don't say that little caveat. But now that it's out there, will they correct that? Oh, you might see it on page 38, right? Oh, probably. I'll just sit back and smile at the TV screen. It's 4:34 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 4:43. We're going to combine a couple of segments here. It's time to honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice in law enforcement. And today we have one, Private John Broski, Pennsylvania Motor Police in Pennsylvania, 1937. Private John Broski was shot and killed while interviewing a witness in a murder case he was investigating. He was performing the interview in a restaurant near Wilkes-Barre. While inside, two armed men entered and attempted to rob the place. As Private Broski complied with their orders to raise his hands, he was shot in the back with a sawed-off shotgun. He succumbed to his wound the following day. The two suspects were captured in Philadelphia 10 days later. They were convicted of his murder, sentenced to life in prison. One of the suspects escaped from Eastern Penitentiary. 11 days later, he was shot and killed by state troopers in Chester, Pennsylvania. That was on this day in 1937. We were also talking about the crime stats in D.C. Townhall.com is reporting, actually Fox News is reporting via Town Hall, that the mayor of D.C. has allegedly left town for Martha's Vineyard. Last night in D.C., 45 arrests, 29 immigration-related, 16 tied to violent crime, and 3 firearm seizures. Enjoy your vacation, Muriel. Trump's got D.C. under control, it says. So, interesting. Mayor just decided to up and leave. Hey, you're going to do my job for me? I'm going to go take a vacation. You go do that, Muriel. For today in history, on this day, on August 14th, let's see what we got here. You can play it, Jake. Oh, there's always time for Rush. There's always time for Rush on this day in history. You could just let it roll. 1935, the Social Security Act is signed. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt enacted the landmark Social Security Act, instituting federal support for the elderly, unemployment insurance, and more. Foundation pillar of the U.S. social safety net. 1942, the Atlantic Charter issued. Roosevelt and the British Prime Minister, Minister Winston Churchill, jointly issued the Atlantic Charter, settling shared principles and post-war aims for our nation and laying the groundwork for the UN. 1945, the end of World War II in the Pacific announced. President Harry S. Truman publicly announced Japan's unconditional surrender, effectively ending World War II. 1936, the last public execution in U.S. Rainey Bethea was hanged in Owensboro, Kentucky, marking the last public execution witnessed by an estimated crowd of 20,000 people. 1973, the U.S. ends secret bombing of Cambodia. The U.S. halted its covert bombing campaign in Cambodia during the Vietnam War era. 1994, captured of Carlos the Jackal, terrorist Ramirez Sanchez, infamous known as Carlos the Jackal, was captured by French agents in Sudan. 1995, the first female cadet at the Citadel, Shannon Faulkner, became the first woman admitted as a cadet to the Citadel, and she later withdrew. It's a lot of pressure there. 1997, Timothy McVeigh, sentenced to death in the Oklahoma City bombing, received the death penalty for the 1995 attack. 2009, release of Lynette Squeaky Fromme, a follower of Charles Mason. Fromme, convicted for her 1975 attempts to assassinate President Ford, was released after decades in prison. 2016, Usain Bolt, third consecutive Olympic 100-meter gold. As the Rio Olympics, Bolt became the first athlete to win the 100-meter dash in three consecutive summer games. 2021, devastating earthquake in Haiti. A 7.2 magnitude quake struck Haiti, causing massive destruction, resulting in over 2,200 fatalities and more than 12,000 injuries. 2003, the Northeast blackout. August 2003, widespread blackout affected millions across northeastern U.S. and parts of Canada, highlighting vulnerabilities in the power infrastructure. I remember that because it was right after 9/11, 2003. They did not lose power in Moscow, Pennsylvania, because that's where we went from our home in Long Island just before we moved here. What else do we got? Some birthdays today. 1945, Steve Martin, actor, comedian, musician, and author. Magic Johnson, 1959, legendary NBA player. Halle Berry, 1966, Academy Award-winning actress. And Mila Kunis, 1983, actress known for a wide range of film and TV roles. And that, I guess, is today in history. So, we're going to see what else we got. Text messages coming in. Somebody says manipulating crime stats is the most popular tactic at anti-gun groups and politicians. Anti-gun groups just expand the statistics. That's what I've noticed of what they do, especially with things like school shootings. They will take their definition of a school shooting is anything that happens within like a mile radius of a school, even if it has nothing to do with the school. If it happens after school hours, they classify that as a school shooting. And it's interesting because, you know, I was looking online today, and these individuals that want to attack politicians and want to attack statistics, you know, somebody was talking earlier, and everything is about how they dislike Donald Trump. No matter what the topic is, no matter what we're discussing, no matter what, it's always back to Donald Trump. And listen, I get it. You don't like him. You don't have to like him. You don't have to support him. You don't have to vote for him. That's your right. But the reason you have Donald Trump is because Democrats hid the competency of Joe Biden and then ran a candidate no one really likes, not even Democrats. And that's why you have Donald Trump. That's what you need to blame. So you could blame Donald Trump for every problem under the sun that you think you have. But the reason you have a Donald Trump, one of the big reasons you have a Donald Trump, is because your own party lied to you, thought you were stupid, and then ran someone that no one likes, because they were kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. So once you start admitting that, maybe you can find a better candidate. You know what? You're a year into this already, almost, right? What are we, a couple months, almost a year into this? November, you know, he was elected, not took office, but November he was elected. You have no message, no leader, no platform. So no leader, no message, no platform. And you don't seem to be. You know, you have Gavin Newsom saying, we're going to get even with Texas by redistricting their districts. Well, listen, you cannot redistrict California any more than you already have. Then you have the moron governor in Massachusetts who said, we're going to do the same thing here. And then she had to be told, madam, Massachusetts does not have a Republican congressman currently. So what are you going to redistrict? What are you going to change there, Massachusetts? Come on now. What do you got? This is the lunacy that's out there because of this. Listen, lead some candidates. I mean, you have Bernie Sanders today. Let me pull it up here. because it was another idiot that you guys just follow. And listen, he could be whoever he wants. He's talking about homelessness when he has multiple homes, and he thinks that, you know, the answer is here he is. Instead of forcibly removing the homeless from D.C. as Trump wants to do, we need to build millions of affordable housing units in America. Instead of giving tax breaks to Wall Street billionaires who are buying up housing and jacking up rent, we need to put the cap on rent prices. Well, first of all, you put a cap on rent prices, you're hurting everybody who's ever used their home as an investment, bought a rental property as their retirement nest egg. As far as Wall Street billionaires who are getting all these tax breaks, it's just your cliche. But he doesn't realize, and what I added, I said, okay, Bernie, let's walk this through. What happens after you place a mentally unstable individual into a taxpayer-funded home? What happens then? Homelessness is not, or rarely is, the main issue, but rather a symptom of the root cause, like substance abuse, mental illness. There are plenty of programs for the poor, not so much for those who don't want nor can't help themselves. So at what point do you do here? At what you're just going to purchase homes? You're going to tax everybody to the no end? You're going to purchase all these homes? It's interesting because I know a builder in a very affluent area. And they every time he goes for a permit to build a home, they question him about when are you going to build low-income housing. And his answer to them, the city, was a lot to build a house. And I'm not talking about acreage. I'm talking about a 100 by 200 lot cost $400,000. How am I going to build a $180,000 house on a $400,000 lot, and who's going to be able to afford that? And they never have an answer for that question. They never have an answer for that question. Bernie Sanders lives in an alternate universe. Here's someone who's become very wealthy doing nothing more than being elected to elected office. He's never worked in the private sector. He owns multiple homes. He is, by all accounts, a millionaire himself, but yet he has these cosplay aura about him that people just buy. Same thing with this Mamdani in New York City. Same thing with AOC. Same thing with Jasmine Crockett. They are cosplaying these politicians of the people when they are nothing of the sort. Nothing of the sort. But people continue to buy it. And it's crazy. Where are your candidates that people can look, Democrats, I'm talking to you, where are your candidates that people can look up to and say, this is someone that we can, Beto O'Rourke? Come on, how many times does he have to fail before you say enough's enough? There is not a single person in your top 10 candidates that anyone of any moderate stance can say, I'd like to hear what they have to say. But yet you'll complain constantly about Trump instead of fixing your party to run a better candidate. And you haven't. You're almost a year in and there's nothing. They're screaming at the sky with their fists, shaking it back and forth, from Chuck Schumer to Hakeem Jeffries to Nancy Pelosi. I mean, Hillary Clinton, she's a has-been. I just laugh every time she tries to make herself relevant on social media and then shuts off her comments. Where are your next candidates? Look at our local officials who just want to use this as a stepping stone. They're no answer. I mean, you have a Harvard graduate who can't take open questions without being scripted and told what to say. How is that even possible? How is that even possible? She's worked for three United States presidents or presidential candidates. But anytime she's at a city council meeting, anytime she's in front of unscripted questions, turns into a blinking mess. This is not your future, ladies and gentlemen. And listen, Republicans are far from perfect, far from it. But at least we have some sort of bench waiting in the wind. You guys think you'd be pushing someone to go around Shapiro? He's not even running as he's not even running our government here in the Commonwealth. Everything he's doing is PR stuff. There's the site, the Keystone, that he's pushing and putting out there. His little social media, TikTok videos. He's doing everything but government. How many weeks are we out without a budget? He wants the rest of the state to pay for mass transit in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Yeah, good luck with that. Our turnpike is the highest paid toll roll in the country. Oh, he won't take responsibility. That's a private entity. I have nothing to do with that. You don't? You're the governor of the United States. The turnpike was supposed to be turned over to PennDOT. How about you make a push to turn it all? Because of these quiet decisions to give themselves these huge raises. And everybody just looks the other way. Everybody just keeps taking it on the shoulder. Everybody just keeps chipping away and getting taxed to no end. Almost every school district in our area have raised their taxes. What's the financial status? I mean, we have a county commissioner, little Alfred E. Newman, that wants to continue to appeal lawsuits when he's told he doesn't have the ability as a single commissioner. They have to act as a board, but he keeps appealing it with our resources, which is our money, Lackawanna County. Has he come out at all to say what's the financial status? Where do we stand now as a county financially? Where are those updates? Where are those comments? But no, he'll get that appeal in real quick. But he wants you to trust him. Trust his pick for his running mate so he can make the decisions that he wants to move forward. Where do we stand? Are we looking at another tax increase? We haven't heard nothing. We're not even going to have a budget because we don't have the commissioner base to do it. Because there is no budget right now. You have two commissioners. Are they sitting down and working it out? There's not going to be a new budget. It's going to be delayed in Lackawanna County. There's not going to be the reassessment certification. But let's just keep appealing, not move forward. All because Marty Flynn shoved the little guy in the locker. Come on, move forward. Grow up already. I thought it was for the people. That's what your ads always said. Funny stuff if you didn't live here and you weren't paying the bill, wouldn't it? One day maybe I'm looking at Lackawanna County from a distance going, yeah, I used to live there, like I do New York now. Thank God I got out of that hellhole. Never looked back. Don't visit. Nothing. Coming up on 5 o'clock here on WILK. Oh, hopefully, what do we got the last hour? Hopefully we talk about better stuff. Actually, we're not. This is a hard story. Thankful it had a good outcome. 5 o'clock here at WILK.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.